Hey everybody, thanks for joining us for another Helping Friendly podcast quick hit. This is for the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium first night from last night, July 18th, 2016. We're here with Matt, who you know from the Twitters perhaps as MD Funk with PH. And he was at last night's show, and he's kind enough to join us again and talk about it. Matt, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for inviting me on again. Nice to chat about the shows.
Yeah, so San Francisco, Bay Area, a couple nights off for the band, and you're ready to go, right? How was the scene at the auditorium there?
It was really great. So I was looking forward to this. I'd never been to the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium before. I'm a little bit of a venue nerd, so I've kind of, you know, read up on this place a lot over the years, obviously, you know, heard and seen a lot of footage from Dead shows there in the 80s and stuff like that. So I was really looking forward to getting into this room. And for those that have not been there, it's a really, really cool place. The building's about 100 years old. So it's just got this really old feeling to it. It's extremely small. It's definitely the smallest room I've ever seen Fish in. I mean, the other places where I've seen them in, you know, a place with this kind of range of capacity are like Portsmouth, Virginia, and then at Mexico. But those were big outdoor places where you can get kind of far from the stage. This, I think I tweeted last night that like this felt like a combination of like Hampton Coliseum and the 930 Club in
DC. I saw that.
Yeah, I just kept the whole time I was standing on the floor, I said, just kept thinking, I feel like I'm in a big version of the 930 Club right now. It's really, really neat. Just old kind of wood paneling everywhere that makes you feel like you step back in time. And one of the coolest things, I don't know if people are aware of this, the house lights in there are, they're not just regular lights. They're just like parkans, mm-hmm. that have colored gels over them. Oh, so, and they're kind of, it, like moving from the front of the back to the room, it's kind of in like a rainbow pattern. So first off, it looks really neat because you're not just standing under regular light between sets. Everybody's kind of lit in different colors and things like that. But you also, like when the room kind of smokes up and you know, the lights come on and separate air for the show, it just looks like a huge rainbow in the middle of the room. So that was wow. Pretty cool. As for the show itself, I did something that I don't normally do. I was flying solo to the show, and I just kind of wandered around the whole time, which was really neat. Obviously, when you're by yourself, it's really easy to get into a lot of places pretty quickly. So I was everywhere from next to the tapers to, you know, three people off the rail for a while, went upstairs to a couple different spots and really got to take in the vibe of the room. And of course, you know, a West Coast Fish crowd is always a friendly place to be. Everybody was very, very inviting. So it was a good time.
So let's talk about this music. At first glance, as the set list rolled in, I thought they were going to do some kind of space theme. But they really came out of the gates pretty hard, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, the Martian Monster was awesome. I think that's a good opener. They've done that a handful of times, and I think it always gets the crowd going. I've said on the show before, my daughter's name is Haley, so anytime they play Haley and I'm there, it's awesome. I've kind of gotten over the bliss of that, and I'm back to the point where I spend the last 30 seconds of the song trying to mentally will them to keep it going instead of dropping off into something else, but that's okay. Sugar Jack, I think maybe Trey practiced it for a couple minutes. It wasn't perfect, but it was a little bit better.
I would say it was a lot better over the last version we saw.
Definitely over the last one. I agree with that one because that was a bit of a disaster. But maybe he was doing that to appease Mike. But it was a little bit tighter than usual. Daniel saw the stone, I love the bluegrass. I know you love bluegrass too. And that's, one of the better bluegrass tunes that they do. I like when they play Daniel.
Yeah, it's got such a strong a cappella kind of content to it. With Mike singing his bass line a little on there and
yeah.
It's I love that song so much. And that's the second one this year, which is pretty heavy rotation for this song.
Yeah, and I think there was a pretty big gap before that. Wasn't the few year gap for that last one.
There was, and I don't know what it was.
Yeah. So, you know, the other, I think, big thing to note in the first set was the Yamar, which went off the rails and kind of got into a rotation jam, which I think are starting to be a little bit controversial. People are thinking that maybe they're using that as a crutch, which I was thinking, but last night, I mean, maybe it was just the fun of being in the room. It almost feels like it's come full circle and it's kind of interesting again. And I kind of want them to do it every night now, because I feel like if they keep doing it, they'll get better at playing those other instruments and they'll find sort of new niches to do.
I obviously, you know, I was just listening to it this morning and I couldn't exactly, you can still tell when different person is playing the guitar or whatever. But you know, there was, I thought, some interesting stuff happening this time, more so than some of the others. And maybe that's just like any jam where they really go out there. Some jams are going to be more interesting too than others, but I thought this one was one of those and it got there.
Yeah. And you know what, back to my previous point about them kind of sticking with it. If you think about some of the themes that they've had on other tours, you know, I mean, of course it's great, but you could easily look back at 97 and be like, oh, they're just doing the funk thing again. They're doing the start stop thing that they do every night. But if they keep working at it, by the end of the tour, things can get pretty cool. I mean, they did that before with some of the Plinko jams that they did, where they slipped back into this space and they get really, really good at doing it. The only thing is that I think it would be a good idea for Paige to spend like 10 minutes in soundcheck trying to figure out how to work Mike's bass rig. Cause he's, every time he grabs the bass, he seems like he just stares at the floor and goes, I don't know how to make this thing work. And he's like trying to do stuff. And I couldn't see if Mike's bass tech came out again last night. I know he's come out a couple of times to like hit a switch and turn something on for him. But maybe if he figures out some of the effects there, he'll start to get a little bit better.
That's a good advice there for Paige. Good advice. Maybe he's just looking for the button to launch the drill.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's the next evolution. Maybe Trey takes over the marimba, Fish steps down from drums and starts playing only the drill.
That's good. So yeah. Let's talk, you know, I really want to get a small plug in there for that Roger. I thought that was a nice Roger without going to the super quietest, delicatest extremes. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one. I could hear them play that every night and I'd always love it.
Yeah. Let's talk about set two.
So set two, yeah. The Golden Age opener was really good. One of those, like, got home and saw that it was only 13 minutes and was kind of surprised. It felt a little bit deeper than that. And, you know, somebody made a comment last night. I apologize for not knowing who this was, but it was a good comment on Twitter about like the fourth quarter thing seems to be like creeping earlier and earlier into the set, where it's almost like a middle 50% of the second set is getting a little weird, and then they kind of bring it back around. Yeah. At the end, surprising to see two bluegrass tunes in one show.
I'll take
My Sweet One. It was good. I will say that it was not the best timing. It would have been cool to see them take Twist a little bit further, but that's fine. No comment on the line.
Well, I have one. I made this on the Twitter earlier, but I think the fact that it did not intercede in some big jam is about as good as the line haters are going to get. Obviously, they're going to play the song, so better that it come out of a My Sweet One than, I mean, can you imagine the griping if it had come out of Twist?
That's definitely true. That's definitely true. There was a little bit of buffer in the My Sweet One, though. But then the run through the end, I mean, Simple, Sneak and Sally, Limb by Limb, Slave was really good, and the Sally was really fantastic. That jam got intense. It went to some really, really crazy places by the end, and I enjoyed that a lot. I always love Sneak and Sally. I was surprised that I hadn't realized how long that they had shelved it. I think I actually saw the last version, which was last summer. But yeah, that's one that anytime they can jam that deep, I think it leads to good results.
And not only did they take it deep, but then they brought it back. They had a great big peak, and then they reprised the song to end it before Limb by Limb.
Yep, absolutely. So, that's one to seek out. I have not had a chance to re-listen to the jam this morning, but my gut feeling last night at the show is I thought that was the best jam of the tour so far.
Well, it's good to get a fresh take of it, whereas I sat down carefully, listened to the whole thing today, but I wasn't there. So yeah, it's good content.
What did you think? How do you think it stacked up against like the MoMA and some of the other big ones?
I think it's worthy. I think it's a good big jam. It doesn't go into like crazy deep spaces or anything. And I'm a big fan of crazy deep spaces or weird dissonant things, but they don't all do that. And that's totally fine. I think this worked out. I think it worked pretty well. I think people should be really, really happy with it. Also, I think it's worthy to note, Limb by Limb, while on paper it might look normal, Trey was really doing some interesting things with his tone on the solo on that. I don't know if you noticed it in the show, but it was a little dirtier, and maybe it was the plex was tuned in. I don't quite remember, but that was notable.
Yeah, Trey's been doing some interesting things. I feel like he's in heavy experimentation mode between the guitar switching and some of the things on his amp. There's been a couple of times this tour where I've been like really blown away by his tone. I remember there was a couple times when I was watching the Gorge webcasts that I just was really, really admiring how great his tone sounds. So it seems like that, you know, kind of wave that he was riding last year with Fare Thee Well of really getting in and tinkering with his amps and doing some different things. I don't know if any of the guitar nerds have figured this out. I mean, he's got, in addition to the Mesa Boogie, Trey's got a Fender Deluxe on stage again. I don't know if that's a backup or if he's using that part-time. It's kind of hidden. You can't see it. It's behind his rack next to Paige. But if you look from the side, I noticed it last night because I was mic's side up on the rail for a little bit. You can see that he's got that. So I don't know if maybe he's using the Deluxe again, and that's what is shaping the tone, but he's sounding really good.
Well, I'm enjoying it. Slave to Close. You can't complain about that. And then a good encore. Circus comes with a 10-minute antelope on top of that.
Yeah, you know, I won't complain about a ballad in the encore if they followed up with an antelope or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, I was totally good with that, and I it's been quite a while since I've seen a Circus Comes, so I was pretty happy about that.
So overall, happy with the show?
Yeah, you know, I went into last night as kind of an experience show. They could have done anything, and I really was like looking forward to being in San Francisco, being at the Bill Graham, just taking in the whole thing. And the fact that we got a couple of really, really meaty parts of the show, particularly the second half of the second set, I was thrilled and was really kind of elated coming home from the show last night. I had a blast.
Great. Great. Well, so we talked before we hit record about what we play. I think, you know, I said Golden Age, but yeah, we should play some of the Sneak and Sally, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the jam of the night.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you for joining us and ask our listeners, if anybody's got an extra for tonight, hit up Matt, MD. PHUNK MDFunk on Twitter. He could use that extra.
Yeah, thanks. It looks like my plans for this evening have been canceled, and I didn't think I was going to be able to make it to the show, and now I might. So anybody else there happens to have a last minute ticket that I could get from you at the venue, that'd be awesome.
That would be great. And as I said, thanks for joining us, and we're gonna play some music. So you have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Good luck getting that ticket.